Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, diving into the wide receiver tiers. And so there's some interesting things in this data that I think are really at the forefront. So I think there's almost like a mini tier. There's a value tier break, I guess, at the multiple hits of 29 or older guys. So you've got Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen. So top 16, it's Adams 5, Hopkins 8, Allen 16. You have basically 5, 8, and 16. And then you've got 3, 3, and 6 is the startup round. So Adams is in the third round at 306. Hopkins in the third round at 311. Keenan Allen in the sixth round at 602. So all coming off the top 12 finishes, all 29 years old. Adams has 5 top 24 finishes. Hopkins has 6. Allen has 5. They will all be 29 years old. There's a disparity there in some pedigree stuff. So that's, but as you sort of get further along, they're elite guys. I think where you start to see a fall off is a little bit into like their 30s, 31, 32, something like that. The guys that have lesser pedigree tend to fall off. That is kind of what you see a little bit further down the board. So that is what you see with Adam Thielen, lesser pedigree, Robert Woods, lesser pedigree. Although he's the second round guy, he's 29 and going at 29th overall. So there's a gap there in terms of those. Again, there's an interesting couple round gap between Keenan Allen and Robert Woods. They finished right next to each other, and you could argue that they've got pretty similar quarterback situations. I think that's an interesting arbitrage. Same with Tyler Lockett. All those guys, and here's what I think is the interesting arbitrage opportunity: Adams, Hopkins, Allen, Woods, and Lockett. All of them, top 13 finishes last year. Adams, obviously, number one. Hopkins through Robert Woods is 4 through 13. There's a massive disparity there between Hopkins and Lockett, between Hopkins and Woods, right? There's 5-6 rounds evaluation. So I think that's a clear arbitrage opportunity. Again, if you're sort of looking along the productive window type of players, I think this is all the reason you need in the world to wait at the position. So, Julio's in that range too. He's in the eighth round. I mean, just that there's such a lucrative range between 6 and 9. You could make a receiver core out of Keenan Allen, Adam Thielen, Robert Woods, Tyler Lockett, and Julio Jones. And you can do that in the 6th through the 9th round. Pretty remarkable. That sets up for a really interesting win now scenario. So I think if you're aggressive in that range, if you want to go early running back, early quarterback, early tight end, you could sort of wait to that. I would build a two-way go, right? That's really the two-way go option is that. It allows you to hit the wide receivers in that range. They're productive, lots of hits, and it's a big time opportunity. So that's I think if you're going to kind of go that route, I think there's plenty of opportunities to do it. I wouldn't go Adams and Hopkins. I would go Allen, Woods, Lockett. Thielen's a little bit different of a case, undrafted, a little bit older. Clear number two on his team. Lockett is as well. Some other guys further down the board I think are interesting. Landry, for example, he's at 50 overall for the wide receivers. That's an interesting arbitrage off of some of these guys. Again, maybe it's not the same ceiling, but maybe it's not totally different from like Robert Woods, and they're about the same, the same age. Landry's further along in terms of his density. So I think when you sort of look at all those are a really interesting set. There's some other guys up in that tier, but they're kind of further down the line. Hilton, Green, Sanders, all those guys. I do think AJ Green in the top 100 at the wide receiver position, 2302. I do think that's an interesting, hey, it's a look-see. And this is a, it's not a lotto ticket. It's a scratch-off. Right? I think it's an early reveal. Is he bad? If he's bad, we kind of see that week one, week two, week three, something like that. I think there's some reason to think that maybe there's some positive regression for him here coming forward. So the multiple hits, 28 years or old, or younger, this is a place where we should really live. Again, you just stack up that 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th round. Amari Cooper's in that range. Mike Evans is in that range. Those guys outproduce, historically, I'm doing some research on these types, and they pretty massively outproduce the guys who don't fit the profile at that range. So you're looking at guys who have lesser hits or the older guys. These guys, this tier of guys outproduces their hits. I think a couple of, or outproduces their ADPs pretty significantly too. So, 20% in terms of warp, something like that. I think that's a pretty interesting thing. I can sort of read the, this is some of the stuff that I've been working on sort of behind the scenes. Basically looking at wide receivers 25 through 29 with multiple hits. On average, the players with multiple hits average 1.43 top 24 seasonal finishes. The average ADP, the average when you look at those ADPs that they have, right, when you sort of adjust for, you take the players at their ADPs historically, and you say, all right, they produce on average 1.43 hits over the next 3 years. On average, those ADPs produce 1.25. So it's a pretty good, it's a 13, almost 14% increase. And that was actually statistically significant. So I think that's an interesting finding there in terms of some of that stuff. The warp stuff, it's about the same difference, although that did not find out to be statistically significant. So, that's there's some other stuff that the flip-flop, the opposite of that was true. This is one of those cases where it seems to be more of like a high floor type situation than necessarily a huge ceiling. Them massively outproducing their ADP in terms of ceiling. They have historically, it doesn't prove to be statistically significant. It's kind of close, but not all the way there. It does when it shows up again with the guys in the top 50. I think a way to think about it is they kind of perform 5 or 6 spots better than their ADP historically, which is when you sort of get into this range, it's about a 2-round difference, right? So when you look 6th, 7th, 8th round, that's like thinking about a 2-round benefit in terms of, hit rate odds. So I think that's an interesting thing, so you're looking at guys in this range like Evans, Juju's in this range, right? It's 8th round as well. Amari Cooper in the 6th, Allen Robinson in the 5th. So all these guys, Thomas is in the 4th. I think that's an interesting one. Ridley's getting up there. I think this is a place you can live, right? But I would live in the top 2 tiers personally, as much as I can get. Let's hammer this. Robbie Anderson, real deep, is interesting. Coming off a top 20 finish, he's at 43 overall. Brandon Cook's coming off a top 17 finish, wide receiver 17. He's got 5 top 24 seasonal finishes on his resume. He's going to be 28 years old, and he's wide receiver 46. That just seems like a situation where he's going to outproduce that ADP almost independent of who his quarterback is. I think the next tier, and this is a place where I like to really be cautious, very cautious, is guys under 28 years old who have a hit, just one hit. So that's your Jefferson, that's your Metcalf, that's Lamb. Right, those are concerning spots to me historically. Chris Godwin is sort of in this range too. Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, just keep kind of going down here. These guys get vaulted up a little bit. Historically, it's a kind of a dangerous type situation. So I would just be careful there in terms of hitting that tier. They're interesting. They're the sex appeal tier. But they are a danger zone in terms of there's a lot of one-hit wonders. Right? This is where they're going to definitionally reside. And, you start looking at it and you sort of see, like, just think about the Chris Godwin narrative, right? Just think he's what, 4 years in, has that huge season. It's basically bookmarked by or bookended by a slow start, an injury, you know, some now he's injured. He has a huge season, injured again. And sort of where are you, right? You're at wide receiver 15, which seems overvalued. So he's 25. So that's the thing there with him. I think it's interesting. You know, DJ Moore is at 13. Again, I like DJ Moore, but man, that's a lot of, you know, he's got one hit. I think he's got like a 25 or 26 finish. Oh, he finished 25 last year. Yeah. So he's basically got two top 25 finishes. So you could sort of debate, hey, you know, should we sort of err on the side of him being a little bit higher? I do think so. But quarterback changes, all that stuff. You know, you do have Robbie Anderson. I kind of wonder what the ceiling is ultimately. So yeah, I mean, that's, and he sort of fits kind of in line with, what you would look at for, you know, his dynamic density and his top 24 implied are about the same. So that's a notable thing. All right. Looking down here, you know, there's some deeper guys here. Nelson Aguilar, Sammy Watkins actually in this range too. I'd be fading like, Devontae Parker, probably 28, one hit, three, almost 4 years behind pace. The next tier, which only has one guy, single hit, 29 years of age or older, that is John Brown. So I think he's a smash at his cost. He's 92. Yeah, I think that's a range in the draft in which you target guys who are falling in value. You target guys who have a hit on their resume and you know, that are veteran 1 year type gaps, like that's that 20th, that 18 through 20 range. That's a spot for them. And again, you're picking probably between injury way backup guys. And at this particular point, there might not be a ton of certainty there. So that would be a scenario where, you know, John Brown probably is going to make a lot of sense there. And I'm probably going to do an exercise where I work backwards up the board, talking about some target players. Kind of thinking about how to go through the board. So just as we more think about these positions, that'll be a sort of a different take on the landscape. And I'll probably have that coming out here in the next week or so. He's going to be one that, you know, is kind of a bail to spot. So that would be the interesting spot there. So no hit guys, 28 years or older. You got Cole Beasley in there, who remarkably hasn't hit. Rashad Perriman is in there as well. Jameson Crowder. That's probably an avoid situation for me, largely outside of, you know, maybe Cole Beasley as a potential, you know, a look-see type in terms of, hey, could he be a, you know, like a wide receiver 3 at a wide receiver 7 cost, something like that. At that point, that'd be interesting. So the 27 years or younger, and this is the first round guys. So this is basically the first round guys without a hit. So when you're sort of looking in this range, it's a 48% hit rate for the round one wide receivers that are rookies. Notably, Mr. Basically baseline, right at sort of the number, is Rashad Bateman in terms of market versus his fundamentals. I think that's interesting. Well below that is Kadarius Toney. Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, both well above that in terms of cost. They're 20 and 23 respectively. Excuse me. Devonta Smith is 20.5. Jalen Waddle is 23 in terms of their RDP. That's the seventh round. Ja'Marr Chase, 309, 8.5. I just can't do that. It's a 47% dynamic density, 48% dynamic density. It's implying 73% hit rate. It's implying a 41%, almost a 41% multiple top 12 seasonal finishes. And that historically is 13.5%. So you're looking basically 3x what his number is there. I just can't. That's just way too expensive. And the question that I would have is, if he hits, how much more expensive is he going to get? If we're still going to live in this quarterback craze range, like, is he move up around in value? And so it seems like all downside to me. So that's the thing with him that I would be a little skeptical on. Again, I like the player, but fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, that's all the shame in the world on me. And I've sort of done this young wide receiver thing again. I'm not falling down that trap, especially considering how much more we know about the position generally. It's just a very, it's a very prove it to me type of position ultimately. So I do think there's, you sort of look down the line a little bit further, Marquise Brown's sort of in this range too. I don't see how it gets better for him. I mean, a 25% market share of usage in that offense last year, and he's just not, I don't see how that improves. And if it's like a top eight, top seven type number, and we sort of saw what it did for him, which is not a lot in terms of production, right? He's a wide receiver three. Now, fairness, he's going as a wide receiver five type evaluation at 51 overall, at 51 at the position. I just, I think you can probably do it differently than that would sort of be my, you know, my ultimate take on the position. As you sort of get down further a little bit here, I'm kind of avoiding the second round guys without a hit, generally speaking. I think if you're kind of looking for maybe, you know, maybe looking for a guy, Denzel Mims' base rate sort of outkicks some of the market implied stuff, so that's interesting. That's really the big one there that I see that jumps out at me. You know, that's an interesting implied, an interesting edge there. And I don't necessarily think that, you know, Elijah Moore's nice, but I don't think it sinks Denzel Mims. So if you're on Denzel Mims, I think at wide receiver 59, like you could do worse 14th round. Again, that's probably in the running back range. So that's a spot to maybe that's a reason or rationale for why you wouldn't be on him. But I think that is a spot where you could say, hey, listen, I like some of the base rate stuff, I like the profile. And I don't necessarily think Elijah Moore is going to come in and take his job. I think that's a fine way to do it. And generally speaking, if you know, some of the historical stuff that I've studied, when guys get superseded, if you can make a bet against the guy that superseded him, and you can do it cheaper, and you can arb it by taking the guy that he superseded. And that showed up pretty well, especially when there's been like bad first round wide receivers. Again, I think Elijah Moore is kind of a good second round one, but even then you're thinking 30, 40% hit rate. There's still plenty of room for Mims to operate. So that would sort of be my thought on that one. No surprise here. I'm going to stay away from day three guys and UDFA guys who haven't hit. I guess if there's an interesting one or two, I don't know, maybe Gabriel Davis. But again, I don't see – he just doesn't have a lot of outs to me. And I hate players without a lot of outs, because if he has a bad year this year, he's just going to crater in value. And I don't like doing that, especially where there's a low base rate thing. You know, I can see some scenarios where you can say, hey, listen, when you're faced with a couple of situations, you can sort of say, I'll go with the guy that's maybe a little bit more insulated. I can sort of tell myself that story historically or whatnot. With Gabriel Davis, like, he could very easily be the wide receiver four behind Diggs, behind Beasley, behind Sanders. And where are we? Right? Is it? I just their reaction to him playing such a high role was to double down at the position, and that's just not a good. It's not really a great look there. Marquez Valdes-Scantling's another one that's kind of interesting. His base rate stuff is pretty low, but I could say in a best case scenario, he could be. I've heard some rumblings that maybe Alan Lazard gets cut, which I think be notable and interesting, maybe open up some opportunity for Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So that's one you could potentially see. He could masquerade as kind of like a wide receiver too. I'm not sure necessarily how many targets that funnels in, but I think that's an interesting one. But that's really, Tyler Johnson's in this range, but he's way down. It's a pretty rough group that I'm largely avoiding. So that's pretty much the big thing. Again, I'm pounding, multiple hit guys. I think the arbitrage opportunities between, in existing leagues in particular, Hopkins to Woods, Hopkins to Lockett, Hopkins to heck, Keenan Allen, Hopkins, to all of those guys. I think it's a really interesting thing. And it's, as I sort of am doing this and looking at this and studying this, that's a thing that I need to go back and sort of reevaluate in my existing leagues about how to maybe pull that deal off. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.